I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19 in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And these verses are the very heart of Matthew chapter 6. You know, if someone were to ask you, "What is your passion in life?" how might you respond to them? What is it that motivates you and keeps you going day after day after day? You know, all of us are motivated by something. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 in the King James Version says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." That is, they will dry up because they don't have any meaning and direction in their life. Whatever it is that motivates us and drives us is going to center in one of two spheres. It is either earthly or it is heavenly. It is either material or it is spiritual. It is either temporary or it is permanent. And that is what these verses are all about. Jesus had just talked about three specific areas that he referred to as acts of righteousness. And he talked about giving, and he talked about praying, and he talked about fasting. And now Jesus talks about possessing material things. This is the reoccurring theme of these things, which are all about reward. Jesus talked about those who give, and if they announce it with trumpets on the street corners to be seen by people, Jesus said they have received their reward in full. What is their reward? Well, they go home feeling, "People see how generous that I am," and they feel so good about that. But Jesus says, "Give in secret, where it is between you and God will reward you." It is about reward, whether you are looking for human reward or divine reward. When Jesus talked about praying, he talked about those who prayed on the street corners to be seen by people, and they received their reward in full. The reward is as they go home feeling, "People see how spiritual I am." But Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father alone in secret. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And then Jesus talks about fasting. And there are those who disfigure their faces and to show people that they are fasting. And they receive their reward in full. That is, as they go home feeling people see how devoted they really are. But Jesus says, instead, fast in secret. Disguise the fact that you are fasting, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And this is the theme through these three things. It's about reward. And that reward is either from people, and it is public, or it is from God, and it is private. And then Jesus says in verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." Whether that is your reputation, which the previous verses have been about, or whether it's material possessions, do not store up treasures for yourself on earth. But verse 20 says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And this continues the same theme about laying up reward and treasure. Now, treasure here may not be the size of your bank balance or your material assets. It may simply be that you are concerned with your own reputation, and that is your treasure. That's what's so important to you. It is whatever you are investing your life in that is making it meaningful and purposeful. So what is it that you are investing your life in that is giving you meaning and purpose? You know, if you're not sure what you're investing your life in, well, verse 21 helps us find that out. For it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If you're not sure what your treasure is, ask yourself, what is my heart set on? What do I love the most? What do I love doing? What do I do in my spare time? Where does my mind go when it has nothing else to think on or think about? If you're not sure to the answer of that, well, verse 22 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And Jesus talks about your eyes. What are they set on? What are you looking at? What are you looking for? What do you dream about? If you're not sure of that, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So Jesus has said, if you're not sure what your treasure is, check your heart. And if you're not sure where your heart is, check your vision. And if you're not sure what your vision is, check your master. What is controlling you? Did you notice the progression here? What begins as our treasure in verse 19 occupies our heart in verse 21 and becomes our vision in verse 22 and then becomes our master in verse 24. Our treasure is something which we assume will serve us, but our heart is set on what our heart is set on actually captivates us. My treasure, which so often I think is my servant, it is for my convenience and it's going to serve me. When it occupies my heart and becomes my vision, it actually becomes my master. And the reason why this is so important is because if you were asked, what is your treasure? Or if you were asked, where is your heart? Or if you were asked, what is your vision? Or if you were asked, who or what is your master? You're actually being asked the same question. And Jesus lines these up in a progression because what we are really talking about is what is our master? And you cannot serve two masters. You know, all of us have a master. So what is it that's the master in your life? There is a reason behind what we do. And it goes back to what really is my treasure? What really is important to me? Where is my heart? What am I? What is my vision? What takes up what I look at? Who is my master? And you know, this is going to come down to one of two things. It is either temporal or it is eternal. It is either self-centered living. Your reward is human. Your vision is human. Your treasure is human. And your master is human. Or it is God-centered, where your reward is that which comes from God. Your vision is that which is godly, and your master is God Almighty Himself. One concerns issues that are only temporary. The other concerns issues that are permanent. We are either living for perishable, material, earthly things, or we are living for permanent, eternal, godly things. In verse 19, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." If you store up treasures on earth, earthly treasures are good for this life only. And it doesn't last long. This life doesn't last long at all, does it? In Psalm 90, verse 10, it says there, "The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." Now, some of you are beyond that, and good for you, you're doing well. But you know, our days are limited. Not only are our earthly treasures only good for this life, they are vulnerable. Jesus says, where there are moths and rust and there are thieves, and our earthly treasures, well, they'll be devalued. They may be eaten up or corroded. They may be stolen. They are only temporary. So if you are investing your life and energy and time on material things that are earthbound, they are extremely limited and vulnerable. They're good for this life only. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it." You know, there's some very wealthy people in this world, and when they die, they're going to leave behind the very same amount that I'm going to leave behind when I die, and that is everything. Now, they have a lot more of everything than I do, but they're going to leave it all behind when they die, just like you are and just like I am. Life isn't very long. In James 4:14, James asks the question, "What is your life? You're like a mist that appears for a little while and then, poof, vanishes away." Life is short, and the older you get, the more you realize that. You know, the big lie of our day is that we believe that life consists in the abundance of the things we possess. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And yet so often we think that a person's status in societies, their sense of importance, the measurement of their success is directly related to their material prosperity and reputation. The natural goal becomes to accumulate, to store up for ourselves treasures on earth, to enhance our status and our reputation by increasing our possessions. You know, there's that old saying that I'm sure we all have heard and know. It's keeping up with the Joneses. And keeping up with the Joneses usually means people are spending money they do not have, to buy things they do not need, to impress people they do not like. Where is your heart? What are you focused on? What or who is your master? You know, I'm going to reread verse 19 again, and I'm going to misread it. And I want you just to listen and see if you can catch the mistake that I make. It says, "Do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Now, what was wrong with that? Do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. What Jesus said was, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That is the selfish accumulation of goods for myself. That becomes my objective, my primary interest. What's in it for me? What do I have? What do I get? Now, if God blesses us with material resources and we're able to bless others with them, that of course is wonderful. But it's the laying up of treasures for ourselves. The alternative that Jesus gives is in verse 20. "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Jesus is saying if you lay up your treasures in heaven, they are moth-proof, they are rust-proof, they're burglar-proof. If treasure on earth is temporary, treasures in heaven are permanent. If treasures on earth are vulnerable, treasures in heaven are safe and secure. So what does it mean to store up treasure in heaven? It means we live on earth with the interests of heaven in mind. It does not mean that we are not to make money, but we have a higher goal and a higher calling. Even though we live amongst the temporal things in life, we live with what is permanent in our mind. You know, the dominant issue in this chapter is not what I can be in the eyes of the world, which is my reputation and my possessions, but rather, what can I be in the eyes of God, and how can I further His interests? Laying up treasure in heaven is living your life on earth with the objective to please God and serve His purposes and interests, which are eternal. What this world values as treasure, Jesus sees as just temporal. It's temporal, depreciating stuff. It will get eaten away. It will deteriorate. It can be stolen and lost, and eventually it will all be destroyed. There is a treasure that we can gain that is moth-proof and rust-proof and burglar-proof and eternal. What a treasure. You know, what a treasure it is to know someone is in heaven because of the influence of your life. What a treasure to be with Jesus and to know Him face to face and be called His dearly beloved, His royal priesthood, His chosen one, His holy nation. So whatever you're going through right now, there is something to be enjoyed forever and ever, and it is permanent and it is real. Jesus said in Mark 8:36, "What good is it if a man gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?" You know, you can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what have you gained? You have gained absolutely nothing. The driving motive for everything we do in our lives is to be Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus in a personal way today? Do you know Him? You know, the whole goal of our being together is to know Christ, to grow in Christ, and to make Christ known. Jesus is not only to be our treasure and love and life, He is to be our vision and our master. Who's your vision and master today? You know, there's no better time than right now for us to stop and have communion together, come to the Lord's table and remember Him and to give thanks and praise to this one that is the treasure of our life that we found, that fills our heart and our vision and is the master of our lives, and give praise to Him. If you need to get your communion things together, this is a good time to stop at this moment. When we come back, we'll enjoy worshiping the Lord together. I'm going to ask Ron to come and to pray for the bread and then the cup.
Lord, we read in Your word to us that You are the bread of life. You are what gives our life joy and meaning today and hope of eternal life with You tomorrow. And yet so often we are distracted by the world's values, the world's treasures, which are temporary and do not bring meaning and fulfillment to our spirit and soul. Thank You, Jesus, for making a way for us to have a right relationship with You. Your body was broken for us so that we could once again have personal fellowship and an eternal life with You. Lord Jehovah, help us to keep our heart in tune with Yours, and that we would put our treasure where there is no rust or decay, with You and You alone. Thank You, Jesus, for Your infinite love and sacrifice for each of us. We love and worship You. Amen.
As Jesus took the bread and He said, "This is My body which is given for you." What a treasure to know Jesus, to know that He gave His life for us that we might have life to the full. And He said, "Take and eat in remembrance of Me." And now we'll give thanks for the cup.
Lord, you came to live among us to show us a way back to you. You became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The penalty for our sin, which was eternal separation from you, was paid for by your blood, your death on the cross. But Lord, you didn't stay there. You rose from the dead to show us that we can have that same victory over death and live eternally with you if we simply give ourselves to you. Help us, O Lord, to never take our eyes off you. Lord, we can only serve one master, and we want that to be you, Jesus, not the things of this world. Help us to set our mind on things above and not on the fleeting and vain things of earth. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love and mercy and grace. We worship you. Amen.
And as Jesus took the cup, he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." What a treasure to know that Jesus shed his blood for our sin, that he paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, and he took and he nailed our sins to the cross. Oh, what a treasure. What something is something to hang on to. And thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. And as we take this cup, we give you thanks for shedding your blood as a sacrifice for our sin. Now may Jesus fill your heart. May he be your vision, be the treasure in your life, your master and Lord and Savior.